It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it's monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 3.1.
Proving the existence of Cthulhu every time we eat spaghetti and meatballs.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And this week is Torture Cinema. We are watching... What are we watching, Jen?
I can't say it.
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
It's not Dungeons and Dragons. It's a lie. They just named it Dungeons and Dragons because some idiot at TSR sold it to some other idiots.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
That does almost help me sleep at night.
Yeah, so we are reviewing, talking about the 2000 film release of 2000 Dungeons and Dragons, which has a bunch of people in it, such as Jeremy Irons and
Thor Birch.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Right?
Justin Weiland, Marlon Wayans is in this. And there's, I'm sure, some other people that maybe had careers once, but then they made this movie and they don't anymore.
They don't anymore. They really, really don't. Except for Thora Birch. I don't know how
she
survived.
She keeps making movies. I looked at her thing, and there are like 15 movies she's made in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and a lot of them critically acclaimed. So she's, I don't get it. But anyway, so like the funny thing about this movie, I've actually shared this story before.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it was on the podcast, but I've shared it with you before at least. The only reason I know it came out in the year 2000 is that I saw it when I was 7 months pregnant. I think I was 9 months pregnant.
Oh no. Did it start a premature birth?
It came out. I saw it on like, I think it was opening night or at least opening weekend, and 9 months pregnant. And I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. So very important to me that this movie be good. And people didn't know going in that it was going to be completely craptastic. The Dungeons and Dragons committee was really, we were staying hopeful. We were pretty sure it was going to suck, but we were staying hopeful. And I sat down and I'm dedicated to watching this movie and it not sucking, right? And this group of freaking Dungeons and Dragons gamers is sitting like right behind me, like 6 of them. And gamers are the most obnoxious people on the planet. I will say that now. There's a reason I didn't go with my group. So these people start going, talking. They're like MST3K-ing the previews, the trailers, and just talking. They're talking about their characters and they're talking about their last adventure and blah, 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 blah. And I stood up in the middle of that theater and I said, shut up. Shut up now. Don't talk again for the rest of the movie. I know this movie is probably going to suck, but I don't care. You're ruining it for me and I don't appreciate it. And I calmly watched the movie. And they stunned silence in the theater. I mean, I was pissed. 9 months pregnant. I literally gave birth 14 days later. So.
It would have been hilarious if after that you gave birth that it caused a premature.
Wouldn't that, right? I think it almost did, just from that experience of having to yell at these gamers. I was more pissed off by those gamers than I actually was by the movie when I came out of it. Mostly because I had yelled at them for ruining a movie that really, really, really sucked. And I felt bad. Because
you shouldn't
I should
have felt
really,
bad. That takes skill to ruin a movie that's already bad.
It does on the part of the director and the writers. It really... Yeah. So,
okay.
This movie, so are you going to do the recap real quick?
Okay. Well, the basic plot is this: like, a 5-year-old girl is the empress, and they are like having arguments in Parliament about like she wants everybody to be equal, and they are like, no, we want it the way it was. And so
the mages are saying that. So you got to be specific between it. The mages versus the commoners.
Fine, old white guys.
Yes.
And the commoners who are Italian and black.
Yes.
Or have three eyes and are purple. Whatever. Yes. But anyway, so they're arguing in the like Parliament, and they're like, oh no, we want to keep things the way they were. And she's like, no, you can't do that. And I don't know why she sounds like a guy and they sound like women, but whatever. And so Jeremy Irons, who's evil, is like, I've got to get the scepter that lets me control dragons, because she's got the one that controls gold dragons, and they're trying to take it away from her. And she's like, no. And then he like goes through this whole ordeal where they try to get the scepter, and somehow two thieves get involved and an elf and like a semi not very good mage and a dwarf who's got red hair and is
hilarious. Probably the only good thing about this movie.
We'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, so they go through this whole journey and they're fighting and bad guys and they're looking for scepter stuff and they're like going through dungeons and all this, you know, kind of roleplay-ish kind of stuff to get the scepter to stop the war. Yep. And that's the movie.
That's the movie. Big the war.
Itself, it mostly makes sense. It's kind of like cliche, whatever.
No.
But
No. You know why it doesn't make sense? I'll tell you why. One thing. The whole reason that she goes and looks for the scepter is because some idiot old mage tells her, oh, well, if you go for the scepter, if we find the scepter, then we can hand them the scepter of gold dragons, and you'll have the scepter of red dragons, and it'll be like a war of attrition. I mean, nobody will be able to do anything because we'll both have dragon scepters.
Oh, so that's right.
That's like the whole point of it. Otherwise, the guy wouldn't even know that the red dragon scepter exists. Jeremy Irons, by the way, who is the main mage
bad guy. Yeah.
So, like, that's their idea. That's their plan. Their brilliant plan is just to have this
war of attrition, which is what happens.
That's exactly what happens, kind of, until they win. But, you know, it's ridiculous.
Oh,
totally
my gosh.
Ridiculous.
I totally
the worst premise.
That.
Worst premise ever. The only thing that makes sense about this movie is the fact that this whole greater plot, which is stupid, actually does kind of make sense in the D&D world, because most of the plots in D&D modules are really stupid. And they do to go sort of a Dungeons and Dragons adventure. They go, you know, they figure out what they're supposed to be doing. They go through a maze and they go through dungeons. And that's kind of D&D-ish. So
yeah, all of it is very D&D-ish. They really went for like the really cliche sort of role-playing
really
stuff.
They did in an overboard way. And that's what makes it awful. So let's do our likes, dislikes.
All right. Well, I'm thinking we're going to have to start on likes and end on dislikes because we probably hate this. So I think one of my likes is I mostly hated the movie, but mm-hmm. not as much as I hated The Last Airbender. But I mostly hated this movie, except there was like one line of dialogue where I was just like, I really liked that. And it's the part where the creepy blue lips guy named Dunglefish or whatever the hell his name is, right, he sits there and he's like, oh, look, I've cut her. What a shame. But he does it all evil sounding. And it's so cheesy and it's ridiculous and it's lame, because 5 minutes later they have like the whole, like where he repeats it to him when he's killing him and yada, blah, blah, blah. But it's, I just like that little scene. That one little bit where he's like cutting her. It's great.
That's sad. I just have to say that. That's
but
really
he was
sad.
Really evil in that scene. Like for once I was like, I'm actually get like a little.
I actually buy him being evil for once.
I know. The rest of the time, I'm just kind of like, you're just like constipated.
Right? Okay. So we'll get to that.
Yeah. Your next
My
like.
My first like.
First like, yeah.
Is Marina's brilliant screaming. Marina is the absolutely pussified mage. Okay.
Yes, she
is. So in the very beginning of the movie, actually uses magic. When she's first escaping, she uses a little bit. And then she doesn't use it for the next hour and a half. And then she
just about, yeah.
One more time to escape again. She only uses her magic to escape, which is great. You're like, can't you do something useful with your magic? But no, she's that awful of a mage. But no, her screaming, the actress who did her, there are moments where I almost enjoyed her.
Oh, that's bad.
I know, because she's like anti-feminine in every way, shape, and form. But her screaming was so good. I was like, this is like a horror movie screaming. She needs to be put in every horror movie just for that.
They should, they should take her scream and like put it over other people's screams?
Can it? Yes, exactly. It was perfect screaming.
So maybe what you mean is she should just go into voice acting.
Yeah. Very much so.
Okay, okay.
The real acting to people that aren't in this movie. But I liked her screaming. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right, well, my first dislike is probably going to be one that's one of your dislikes. And so we should just get out of the way, which is overacting to the extreme. And not, I don't mean bad acting. Like Last Airbender, a lot of the characters, they're just bad actors, with the exception of Dev Patel, who overacts. But most of the characters are just bad actors. In this movie, they're bad actors and they overact. Even the ones that are supposed to be respectable actors, which we won't get into that right now, they overact. They just like, they put every single crazy like arm movement and like they grind their teeth and they yell their lines and they force every single piece of dialogue. And it was so hard to watch half of the people in there actually do anything. Just because they just were so... The only guy who didn't overact was, like, the old man. The old man who's, like, in it for 3 minutes and then he dies.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. This is actually my dislike, too. It wasn't my first, but I'll put it to the front. There are moments where you're going, you can almost laugh at it. Where it's, like, it's comical how much they're overacting.
Right, like, it almost...
Unfortunately, it wears thin so quickly... that you're just sick of it within literally 5 minutes of the opening of the movie.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, and these are people, they use their eyebrows way too much and their cheeks and their lips and their arms and their hands and their bodies.
Faces.
I mean, some of them.
Most of them do, really.
Right. And what the worst part about this is that some of these are actually, like we said, good actors. So, from them, you're like, oh, they're overacting just to be funny. But the bad actors somehow like picked up on the overacting of the good actors because obviously they're good actors, so we should like, you know, and
copy
and,
them.
Right. And it's just it's pretty painful.
It is. It's really painful.
It's like watching a sci-fi movie.
From the channel Sci-Fi with Wise.
From the channel Sci-Fi, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go with our second likes. Let's go with your second like first.
All right. One of the things that I actually liked about this, and I'll get to the converse as my next dislike, but I actually liked that the sets looked straight out of old D&D books with every bit of cheesiness that entails, unfortunately. But, I mean, like that first scene when Jeremy Irons walks in and he's doing something magic-y, but that set... with the skulls and the darkness and the people in their cloaks and their big hoods and the stones that are wet and, you know, all of that. And even like the market later on and the thieves guilds, all of those like very to me D&D-ish image moments. I mean, I swear they actually took the bar straight out of a picture that's in an old D&D manual.
Probably.
So that I actually enjoyed. I mean, like there's bits and pieces where I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, I as a kid playing this, because I started playing when I was like 10 or something. That's exactly how I imagined a D&D game would look like.
All right. Well, then my next like is actually the dwarf.
The dwarf. See?
Yes. He's totally cliche. I get it. But at the same time, like... they give him these really dirty, filthy lines. Like, there's a line when he's talking about, like, a 250-pound dwarf woman. And he's, like, talking
with
about, like...
some hair you can hold on to.
It's so filthy.
And he makes the motion to, like, pull her beard. Or some whiskers, some hair on her chin that you can hold on to. And he makes, like, a humping motion.
I know.
It was so wrong. And I was laughing. Okay. And I have to say the actor that does it is the guy that is now in Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh my gosh, it's him.
It's him. Lee Ehrenberg. And he's fantastic. He's a great, weird character actor. If he has to look weird, he's the guy you want. If you want someone who's just bizarre, but still without too much makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Right, cool.
And he was fantastic. I totally
absolutely
agree.
Okay, all right. So I'll go with my dislike then. I want to tie one of my dislikes has to do with my first like, which I should have did already. But anyway, it's the laziness of the filmmakers. If you pay attention to the scene where he like cuts her, the cut's already there before he's cut her.
Yes.
And then it's in the wrong place from when you see the close-up. It's the wrong place in the wrong shape.
Yeah, they were really, really...
And it's just so obvious, like, they just didn't give a shit. Like, no continuity. Let's just whatever. Let's just put whatever, it's like they made it up as they went along. Like, oh, just, okay, just cut her. Like, yeah, we'll just draw something on there. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't get it. What's funny is that the director went on to direct a second film. He loved Dungeons & Dragons so much that he went on to do a second one.
All right, well, we won't talk about that because I don't want somebody to suggest we watch it. Anyway, so your next dislike.
My next dislike is the utterly craptastic CGI.
Yeah, even for 2000, that was real bad.
It was pretty bad. You know, actually, I was trying to think back to 2000 because when I watched it yesterday, there were moments where I was like, oh, this doesn't look too bad, but I'm watching it on a computer, so that's probably why.
No, but, it's bad because 1999 was the newer Star Wars, and the graphics in that were so much better than this.
Exactly. That's what I realized. That and the fact that it looked like, you know, the dragons look like something that are in sci-fi movies, SYFY movies. And the Eye of the Beholder, which would otherwise have been one of the coolest things in this movie, other than the fact that it was totally underutilized, just looks terrible. I mean, it looks like...
There was no point for them. They just were like giant floating eyeballs that like...
It was really just a, oh, look, we're going to put an Eye of the Beholder in, and all the D&D people are going to go, oh, there's an Eye of the Beholder!
I just didn't understand. It wasn't clear. Like, if I was not a D&D person, I'm not.
You would have no idea.
You wouldn't know what was so scary about them because they're all afraid of it. But all it does is it goes, and it, like, floats around with this giant eyeball.
It looks stupid. And most of the CGI looks stupid. The castles and those towering towers and...
Yeah, just it was dumb. Pretty bad.
So right. They should have liked anything that wasn't CGI, and it probably would have been okay.
Okay, well, then your third like.
My third like is, I'm going to stay specific with Ridley's pirate costume, because it wasn't a thieves costume, it was a pirate's costume. And some of the costuming in general was actually kind of funny and enjoyable.
That's actually one of my likes, sort of.
Right, exactly, because the armor, terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible.
Especially for her, for the Empress.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Well, only her head thingy. That was just dumb. But it was still kind of a cool vision. If it wasn't for the characters, I actually liked Snail's costume. He looks more like a thief because he's just kind of thrown together. I liked their costumes. As long as you like remove the armor quotient, which was just terrible. It looks like it's made out of either plastic or aluminum.
Yeah, the thing that I wrote down, because that's basically my third like, was it was obvious that they spent more money making all these pretty costumes than they did on having a coherent script or maybe paying a good director.
Because,
like, one of the costumes for one of Jeremy Irons' costume is, like, all this, like, beautiful silk with gold and all of this stuff. And
oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
That must have cost more than they paid the director. Just that.
Just to make it. It was the costumes were actually beautifully made. Thora Birch's costumes, some of it was a little bit over the top, but in general were just kind of gorgeous. It reminded me of the costuming in Star Wars that came out the year before.
All right. Well, my third dislike is actually the fact that the whole film feels like one giant D&D orgy session. Every single cliche possible is in here. Every, like, cliche that people would know about D&D, they've shoved them all in there, and they've just kind of, like, they took in a game that people take very seriously and sort of reduced it to all of the things that even the fans of the game can't stand anymore, and then, like, taking a giant turd on that. It's sort of like they really shouldn't have called it Dungeons & Dragons. They should have really called it, like, Dung Heaps and Dragons.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and here's my thing, is that they somehow managed to take a whole bunch of cliches and yet have absolutely no influence, D&D influence whatsoever.
No, they took a vision of what people think D&D is like.
Right, exactly, of what people think who have never played D&D or ever read the books or anything.
Right, they're based on cliches that have come from the game that are without context.
Exactly.
So when you put them together...
And without actually putting in some very few...
Yeah.
Very D&D-ish things, like the Eye of the Beholder is one of them, but except that the Eye of the Beholder doesn't do anything, so not that scary, and probably not an actual Eye of the Beholder. Because if they had an actual Eye of the Beholder, it would have killed everybody. Two, the rug that he sinks into, that was kind of spiffy. But that's like two things.
But anyway, so what's your next dislike?
Damodar's blue lips.
What the hell was up with that? Why did he have blue lips?
Exactly. It had to be a standalone dislike because, seriously, the most pointless costuming makeup thing I've ever seen in my
entire
life.
He's the only one with blue lips. There are no other people with blue lips except for the creepy guy with the extra eye. But he's an alien, so...
He's like some weird monster who is supposed to have... And he's purple, so... Yeah, he makes sense.
Damodar doesn't. I call him Dunglefish.
Right. And there's no context to his blue lips.
There really isn't. Yeah.
The monster thing that comes out of his head, that explains why the back of his head is like bright red and painful looking. But the blue lips exist beforehand. In my memory of it, I was thinking that maybe it's like a oxygen deficiency or something from the monster, but then it turns out it's before the monster is ever in his head. So
right.
No context. Pissed me off.
Yeah. No, it's annoying. Okay, so your fourth like.
My fourth like was actually the fact that they did throw in one or two almost genuinely D&D things.
Okay, so like Eye of Beholder, things like that.
The Eye of Beholder and the rug and the maze was kind of cool. And how to disarm a trap. But that was pretty much it. But okay. I appreciated it.
Yeah, well, I agree. Okay, well, my fourth like... Actually, I really liked that they had brain parasites in this.
Totally spiffy.
Because it was kind of cool. Like, of all the things you could do to somebody, like, give them some sort of evil, creepy brain parasite that sucks things out of other people's heads.
Yeah, that was kind of nice that it ended up being a handy brain parasite.
Yeah, but also at the same time, like a burden. Like, he doesn't want it, but it's like, look, you can help me, and I'll help you, or I'm just going to suck it out of your head, and I'm still going to feel like crap at the end, but you're going to feel worse. So, there's like, anyway, I don't know.
And you can't tell whether or not to actually, like, believe the guy. I mean, because he seems to be evil, but then he tells Marina that he's not actually evil, but it's the brain parasite. And you're kind of going, I think you're still evil.
No, he's definitely evil. Because he's just lying. He's just lying to her, and she almost believes. But anyway, whatever. No. Okay, so your fourth dislike.
My fourth dislike is Marlon Wayans as the thank you, Massa sidekick.
Oh, yeah. That really ties into one of my likes, though.
Well, you don't get that as a like, because it was really awful. You know what was really awful about it was that I actually almost enjoyed his acting more than I enjoyed a lot of people's acting. But because the role that they put him in and the lines that they were giving him were so terrible and offensive.
Sure.
I just was like, please, just why is he doing this? Does he not see what they're doing? What function this character has?
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that, I mean, the character literally dies for his white,
Massa.
Yeah. And it's pitiful. And
he doesn't even get a good sort of like character growth that leads him to that. Like all of a sudden he decides to be brave.
Yeah.
To save his Massa. Oh,
exactly. Yeah. Not actual bravery, but he would do anything for his Massa.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sickening.
Cool. Okay, well, my fourth dislike is actually just two questions.
Okay.
What the f*** happened to Jeremy Irons? Like, didn't he used to be a respectable actor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he so badly overacts in this that it's it's like there are points when his eyes look like they're about to pop out of his head. Like he's struggling so hard with the line, and he's just pushing it so hard. Like his head looks like it's all getting red, and he's like, my eyes. But then it's like you see him in something like Aragorn, and you're like, but you can kind of do that kind of douchey role, but without making
what? He was terrible in Aragorn.
I know he was terrible in Aragorn, but he wasn't as bad.
And he is so good in so many things.
I know it was really depressing to see him. Of all the people in this, overacting that much, like, really, really pushing the envelope of just every pot, like, fist clenching in the air and going, yeah, it was bad.
All right, so what's the second question?
Oh, that was it. No, that was two questions. It was, what the hell happened to him, and didn't he used to be a respectable actor?
Oh, okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So okay. Are we on our last like?
Yeah, our last likes. I'm just going to get mine out of the way because I actually don't have an explanation for it. So, I mean, I guess for a movie that's trying really desperately to be as bad as humanly possible, the fact that there's lots of racism in it, I mean, why not? I mean, like, dwarves against elves against humans, and there's all these, like, racist stuff. Like, elves are just, and, like, dwarves are just retarded, and, like, they eat, like, slobs, and they have, like, chicken hanging in there, and they're, like, there's the line when she said, couldn't you be less dwarf-like? And he's like...
Yeah, particularly when you combine that with the whole Empress going for equality thing.
I almost made that one of my dislikes. That was so friggin' annoying.
It really, really, really was.
In the end, it's all, I declare everybody's equal! And it's like, yes,
everybody's
because you
equal.
Just had a civil war over this. I'm sure it's just gonna go like that just overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's this ridiculous, absurd utopia.
Have fun with your post-slavery world.
Well, there wasn't any slavery. It's just that the mages have the power and money, and everybody else doesn't. There's no clear slavery, at least. But anyway, whatever. What's your fifth like?
Jeremy Irons' epic acting. Okay.
Like epic face acting? Is that what you mean?
Epic! It was epic. Epically bad. Granted, but epically awesome at the same time. You have to seriously kind of step back and just watch him and appreciate. Okay, the man, you can tell, hated the fact that he was in this movie. I don't know why he was in this movie. I have a feeling it was a contractual issue or something, or maybe he was doing it for a friend. Who knows what the reason was, but I know for a fact the man hated being in the movie because it's a really, really bad movie, so he must have. And so he basically was like, okay, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to be so over the top that people are going to know that I hate being in this movie.
Mm.
But just watch him. You can actually almost appreciate how good of an actor he is by how badly he overacts in this movie. Because it's almost really good overacting. It's just so painful that you're like, please kill me now.
It just makes you wonder, like, why? Like, maybe he was testing to the director to see how far he could go, to see when he'd get challenged.
Exactly.
So it makes you wonder, like, what didn't make it into the film?
But seriously, I mean, of all the bad acting in that movie, his isn't actually bad acting. It's just major overacting.
But
there's actually some quality to it. Watch like the first scene again when it's just watch his face. It's hilarious. And I ended up coming away from this just loving it, going, you know what, Jeremy Irons, props. Whereas in Aragorn, he just was bad. It was just pointless. But in this, he like stretches every overacting muscle he has.
Okay, all right. We gotta move on. So I'm gonna assume that our last dislike is the same thing.
I don't know.
Is it a person?
No.
Oh, then we have difference. Okay, what's your last dislike then?
The thing that I dislike most about this movie is the fact that it utterly ruined any chances of ever having a decent Dungeons and Dragons movie.
That was pretty much assured from the second Hollywood expressed interest.
I hate
to say it. It really was.
Well, yes. Except that there are some great storylines in the Dungeons & Dragons world. Great book series that... I wouldn't say great, but good. High enough quality that they could have made a decent movie. And for some reason, they went out there. They found the most cliche storyline that they could possibly find. They found... some really bad actors. They found a really bad scriptwriter. They did some really bad CGI. And they made this movie. And not only did they piss off every Dungeons & Dragons fan, but they just kind of ruined it for the rest of the public too, who went in already going, D&D is lame. And then they see this movie and they're like, wow, see, that totally proves that D&D is freaking lame. It's never, there's never going to be a good one. And I think it set back gamers, D&D players, 10 years.
Yeah, it was, yeah, no.
So I was pissed. I was very angry with this movie. A lot of people
I don't blame you.
Angry with this movie.
All right, well, my last dislike then is Thora Birch. Thora Birch is so awful. For the love of Jeebus, just kill me. She's so bad. Look, okay, let's get the easy stuff out of the way. Okay, she can't act. She can't deliver a single line without overacting it or, like, ending her...
It's not even overacting. It's just forced.
She's forcing it, and sometimes she sounds like she's asking a question, but she's not actually asking a question. So she confuses other actors because they're like, was I supposed to... Am I supposed to answer it? Are we improvising? And then there are points when you can tell she's forgotten where she is. She doesn't know where she is. She's in the scene, but she's like, I'm supposed to say a line. Where am I? And it's obvious like that they're feeding her drugs or something, just trying to keep her career going. She's gone. Like, whatever, gone. It's Thora Birch is it's dead inside. That's why the movie she's now doing, she takes her top off, because she doesn't have anything else. She's just got big boobs.
It's possible, except that she went on to do Ghost World, which I haven't seen yet, granted, but people really liked her in.
I can't stand her.
So,
every time I see her, I just want to, like, hurt something, like a small farm animal.
You're so mean to her.
She's
not a very good actress, I don't think, but...
Except
American Beauty. She did a great job in American Beauty. She was unfortunately like really overshadowed by the excellent acting that was in that movie, because she wasn't great. She was weak compared to, you know, Kevin Spacey and everybody else.
That's because she's not very good.
I wasn't sure after American Beauty. And then she did this movie and you're kind of like, what the hell were you thinking?
I know what she was thinking. She's like, I'm going to be the childlike empress from Neverending Story.
Except worse, because the childlike empress actually did a decent job of being the childlike empress. So
I know. It's interesting that we're calling her we're saying the actress is a childlike empress. That's even playing herself in a movie about
she
herself.
She is.
Okay, all right.
All right, so what's the grade?
Oh, I'm giving this D-. It's not quite F territory for me. There are moments when I'm like, oh, that was fun. And then there are moments, like there was some comedy and like the dwarf and stuff. Like I really enjoyed those humorous moments, particularly dirty dwarf jokes.
Yeah. I'm actually giving it an F- for pissing me off. So, I mean, because I agree. There were actually moments where I was almost getting into it. I was going, oh, yay. You know, almost.
Oh.
And then it would hit another... Seriously, it's an hour and 40 minutes, approximately, the actual movie. I tuned out almost completely through about half the movie. And I kept going, are we done yet? Or is it over yet? Because this really sucks. And then it would kind of suck you back in for a minute. And you kind of go, oh, okay, that's cool. I get that. And I laughed and I enjoyed myself for a minute. And then I was back out again. And it does it so constantly... that by the end of it, I was just like, God, this is a stupid, stupid movie.
At least it's not like the Guyver, where you said you fell asleep and woke up and you didn't even know.
I mean, this one I at least checked back into. You know, Guyver, you couldn't even do that. But because it's so ruined, Dungeons & Dragons as a movie, F- for being bastards.
Okay, all right. Well, we're not going to do a reading and writing this time. We'll do it definitely for next week, though. So if you want to suggest a movie or leave a comment about what you think about this movie or tell us off for whatever reason, you can do that in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
Right. Twitter.
Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanty.
Or you can leave a comment on our blog.
SkiffyandFanty.wordpress.com?
Yes, that would be it.
Yeah. Okay. You caught me off guard. I was somewhere else. I'm still
being
pissed.
Like Thora Birch.
Right? Exactly.
We need to get you on some drugs to keep you focused.
Exactly. So whatever you do, don't watch Dungeons & Dragons again. If you've already watched it once, I'm sorry. You're probably one of those people that was hoping that Dungeons & Dragons could be a good movie, and unfortunately they betrayed you. Don't go watch it again.
No,
ever.
Don't. We've just saved you the trouble. So we saved you the trouble in like 35 minutes. So.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, we will see you all next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
Heart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you, always.
End of line.